back in session, we have a few public hearings to deal with. Item 12A, public hearing to consider voluntary withdrawal of Siskiyou County from the Siskiyou Transportation Agency Joint Powers Agreement. We will open the hearing. We have
staff report.
Staff report?
Mm-hmm.
That would be me.
Oh, I didn't.
No, I was asking.
No,
like, yeah.
Chair Ogren.
Yeah.
No, you? Oh, yeah. You. Sorry.
I have a staff report.
Never mind. You just talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
Hold on.
Good morning, Chair Ogren, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. This public hearing is to consider the county's voluntary withdrawal from the Siskiyou Transportation Agency, which would then activate a dissolution of the Siskiyou Transportation Agency. Depending upon the board's direction and vote later on, there are options available. And if the board so chooses, then a notice would be sent to the Siskiyou Transportation Agency as well as the clerk's office pursuant to Article 12 in the Joint Powers Agreement, stipulating an effective date of the withdrawal and pursuant again to Article 12 of the JPA. It states 120 days from the notice. However, there are concerns that with the transition of the dissolution, that it would take longer than 120 days. So if the board's pleasure is to withdraw from the Siskiyou Transportation Agency, to authorize me to send a notice with an effective date of May 18th, 2026, which gives 6 months of a dissolution process. Again, that's depending upon the board's direction at the end of this public hearing. So with that, I turn it over to the board. For furtherance.
Okay. Presentation of correspondence.
There's been no correspondence at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments or public agencies. Hearing none. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. Any online?
Oh, there's somebody standing up.
Oh, hello there.
Hello. Thank you so much for hearing me today. I'm a city councilor for the city of Dunsmuir. I represent on the behalf of the cities.
State your name, please.
Matthew Bryan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a representative from the city side on the Local Transportation Commission and the STA, the Siskiyou Transportation Agency. We've had very thought-provoking discussion regarding the benefits of the JPA, the intention of it, whether it's fulfilling that or not. I'd just like to point out that we do have scheduled an information item for the agency's meeting today at 2 p.m. Generally, I would encourage this board to get that information and make sure they've engaged with their partner cities before making this decision. I respect that you guys are able to withdraw. A lot of work went into convincing all of those cities to join and form this JPA. My understanding is it is best practice to have this, to pool our resources instead of having to be divided and have to be brought back to multiple different meeting levels. I have reached out to a number of cities to discuss this issue, and it's kind of new to them. They know that a lot of work went into getting this JPA created less than a year ago, I believe, is when it was finalized. It took a year to get here. I guess I'd like to study the situation on behalf of the cities and see if it made sense a year ago. Why are we immediately going back on it? The cities like having the equal voice, 3-3, on the agency. We've always respected the way the board has handled transportation issues, but I think in talking with the cities, if you guys withdraw, it is not a foregone conclusion that it goes back to the way things were. We're definitely going to keep the conversation going about how we can most effectively meet the transportation needs of our cities. So I respectfully ask that you guys maybe wait and engage with your partners in this and come up with what the best solution is in transportation. That being said, I am new to this commission. A lot of you guys have a lot of experience in this regard. I'm not asking you to not withdraw if that's the best course for the county. That's your decision. I say that we need to study it and make sure the partner cities are aware of the consequences of the decision and what path forward they're going to take. So I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. Any proponents?
Got one more.
Have another. Look at you.
Oh, boy. Well, you really stepped in today, didn't you?
I've really gotten in the middle of it today. Cliff Munson, also a member of the transportation committees for the county, representing the city of Edna as one of the city representatives. Just in my experience, yes, I too am very new to this. In fact, I didn't know that the JPA until the last meeting had just been formed right before I got onto the committees. I deal with JPAs a lot in a tremendous amount of things that I do with the Siskiyou Golden Fairgrounds as a 10th DAA, which is a state entity. And it just seems to me that JPAs, they seem like they're more local based, where you're getting the people that are involved in it to make the decision. And I would just ask the board to look at alternatives to just dissolving it to make it function better for the use. I think it's a lot easier to have that meeting where you have the players sitting at the table to make it go. I don't understand the whole thing completely yet. I haven't been a member long enough to get it all figured out, but I just know that JPAs seem to be a much better option for managing government than not. So, I mean, that's all the input I can put in. I would like to have the opportunity to learn more about it, but I just think that, I realize it's a long day for you as supervisors, and I don't really know what would be best for the county in terms of employee matters and all the other things, but in terms of just being able to handle the dollars that are put in by the cities and how that all mingles together with county input, I just think it could be a better option to keep the JPA, but to figure it out to make it work better. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any more comments in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Okay. Moving on to public comment. Any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents. In the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents. In the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
We will close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board.
So, I'll kick it off. When we formed this JPA, the idea was to best way to describe it, divorce ourselves from the county. We were going to be an independent agency operating on our own. All that was the premise of why we went forward with this, and why it took as long as it did to get through this. But now, on the other side of it, once it's gotten approved, we've come to find out that we're operating in two different entities, which isn't, I mean, it's cumbersome, but it's I guess doable. But come to find out, we can't divorce ourselves from the county. We still have to have a thread, which then brings in, because we have two entities, there has been the request for an additional executive director and for counsel, which we have hired. We come to find out at the last meeting that I guess now we can combine county counsel in both of them. But the premise is we were spending almost $250,000 a year for those two positions if they were put into place. One was not. Those are funding that can get back to projects within the cities and the county for, there's numerous. So, for me, it was duplicating services, duplicating effort, and duplicating costs that I just couldn't support. It was not what, I guess, at least my vision had been, to become more efficient in an independent agency of our own. Now, we had a presentation by county council. I forget if it was September or August, where one of the factors to terminate the JPA or dissolve it was for one of the entities to initiate a notice of withdrawal. And so that's why we're here today. I can't imagine that if we get into this and we do support a withdrawal, that there isn't a way to reverse course down the road if that was necessary. But the bottom line is, as long as it will take to at least get to dissolve, there's plenty of time to work out some of the details, I guess, are potential. I know if we do decide to withdraw, and I support withdrawing, it opens the door to, I guess, Plan B, and that can be discussed amongst the JPA itself. So in the past, before we had the JPA, cities and county had equal representation. This notion that I continue to hear that, you know, the cities, you know, weren't represented is not true. We had equal representation at the disbursement of funds. Even in the, if it's STIP or whatever, where it's divided up amongst the cities and the county, each city had say in that. So nothing was outside of the parameters of where the cities weren't in agreement. It worked well before. I just felt that we did not become more efficient doing the two-entity ordeal, and it's opened up what I call a new bureaucracy that will have to be funded in some capacity. I know if county council is going to take on the role for the JPA and the LTC, we are told that there isn't enough resources for county council. You're spread thin as it is. But if the county council is willing to take on yet more of this, I'd like to hear more about that. But at any rate, I support the withdrawal so that we can look at a better venue on this and hopefully get back. My goal would be to get back to where we were.
Through the chair, this Natalie Reed County Council, this is the first time that I'm being made aware that County Council will be serving as LTC's council.
Well, LTC and JPA.
Yeah. And I was aware that the STA had in their JPA that County Council would serve as their council.
Yeah, but Mr. Kinney has been council until the last meeting that we had, I think, in October-ish, where we were told that county council could fulfill that role.
And it's possible that previously that was something, I think the Chief Deputy County Council, Dana Barton, is here, and that may be something that she did in the past.
Okay. Any other comments from the board?
Well, sure. I'll just say this. Supervisor Kopsoff and I have been on this for forever and a day, it seems like. And with all due respect to the cities, because they still have equal representation, they are not going to lose representation. But there's been a revolving door at that level with participation. I mean, their plan center was just the supervisors making the quorum to try to make decisions. So I get and I respect where the city is coming from in a sense, but we're not trying to change the operation. We still are going to provide the services. My expectation was much like yours, Supervisor Kopsoff, was to build in more efficiencies to separate completely from the county. But if we can't do that, we're just creating more bureaucratic mumbo jumbo. Yeah. I would rather go back to hit reset and come up with a better efficient plan. What that looks like, you know, is with input from the cities is up for discussion. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I consider this a failed experiment is what it comes down to. It wasn't how, you know, and I put the onus on that as much on me as anything else. You know, I didn't understand it completely, but as you well know, when we first started, we were doing Board of Supervisors meetings, LTC meetings, going until 8 o'clock at night. You know, it's like the last thing on your mind is, are the buses running? You know, are we getting a new bus? You know, that kind of thing, scheduling. You know, again, you know, I think we're kind of up against a timeline, which is why we're doing this. I wish we could have done it with the meeting with the LTC, which we're having at 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. you know, ahead of time. But you know, I don't want to discount where my peers are on the LTC, but I feel like we need to move forward. You know, again, not that we can't stop at any one moment in time. You know, but I'm sure there'll be a healthy discussion at the LTC meeting. But again, with all due respect to my city peers there, you know, this had been discussed before. I'm sure the discussion will continue afterwards, and I expect to hear from them moving forward.
Okay. I can't say any more about it. You both have said exactly what we've been talking about. So,
I would make the recommended motion.
I'm thankful. And I'll second it unless you
want to. And would that motion please include authorizing me to issue the notice of the withdrawal with an effective date of May 18th, 2026?
That was included in my motion.
Thank you.
I added it, right?
Yes.
Thank you for those.
Is there any discussion of the question? Hearing none?
Did I get a second?
You did, I did.
Oh, thank you.
You did, I did. Okay, let's call for a vote.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. Okay. Do we have to bring this back again? This was the second time, right?
Right, it's close.
We're done. Okay. Okay, we will move on to item 12C. We'll get there. Community development, we're going to talk about 318.73 acres of land north of the city of Etna. Hello, Bernadette.
Hello. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. This project proposes to rezone approximately 318.73 acres of a 398.73 acre parcel located south and west of Wairika. It's currently zoned rural residential agricultural with a 40 acre minimum. And also rural residential agricultural with a 5 acre minimum. The applicant is proposing to rezone the subject property to TPZ in order to align the zoning with the property's historic, current, and planned future use of timber production. The remaining 80 acres are already zoned TPZ. The project was initially considered by the Planning Commission, where it recommended that the Board of Supervisors adopt the CEQA exemption for the project and approve the proposed rezone. Because the property is currently encumbered by Williamson Act contract and within an ag preserve, the Board of Supervisors must consider this issue. The applicant proposes that the contract be canceled upon the rezoning to TPZ in lieu of the 9-year non-renewal pursuant to California Government Code Section 512.82.5. It should be noted that the property is currently under a multi-owner contract. Should this request to rezone to TPZ with the Williamson Act contract cancellation, the property remaining under the existing contract will remain subject to the terms and conditions of that contract. No public comments have been received, and a recommended motion has been provided in your agenda worksheet. Thank you.
I'm a little confused. Was this 12C mm-hmm. or 12D?
Yes.
C.
C. Thank you. My notes in the wrong spot.
Oh,
thank you.
I'll give you. Are you good? Are we okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Presentation of staff report is done. Presentation of correspondence.
Received none at the clerk's level.
Okay. Presentation. Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or of evidence by staff or other county departments or public agencies. And then. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
Thank you. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comments. Any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
We will close the hearing.
Nope.
Nope.
Please don't close.
No. We're not closing.
Thank you.
Second term. Discussion by members of the board.
I have a question. So, by transferring
some of these Williams Knight contracts into this TPZ, are some of those existing parcels going to be disqualified from Williams Knight?
In order to be under Williams Knight, it has to be zoned agricultural, so prime or non-prime. So once it's in TPZ, it's locked into that. Similarly, Williams Knight, if they wanted to rezone out of TPZ, it would take 10 years.
Maybe I misunderstood you. I thought you said some of these, it was going to fragment some of the existing surrounding Williamson Act?
Nope. Everything will, that's under Williamson Act around it will remain under the contract that it's under. We will only cancel this particular property from that contract.
I apologize. I misunderstood you.
Okay, any other questions?
I have a quick question. The resolution that's in here for the cancellation, is that going to carry over to the continued public hearing before
just do
action?
All at once.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Now we will entertain a motion. You
made
the motion. Do we have
second.
A second? Second here.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming you want to bring it back on 12-2, correct?
Please.
Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, moving on to item 12B. Haley.
Hello. Good afternoon. Haley Link, Planning Director. So at the October 21st meeting, there was discussion regarding water usage regarding the 560-acre property that Nature Conservancy has purchased. The grant agreement has been provided as part of the staff report packet and shows the parameters of the grant regarding water usage, such as in-stream flow dedication. It has been brought to staff's attention that we're evaluating Williamson Act contracts that may have concerns or issues where our Williamson Act guidelines don't provide specific direction or guidance regarding a particular concern or issue. There have been other concerns that have been ongoing, other concerns that have been brought up in our recent Williamson Act contract discussions as well. Given that the board has provided ongoing support and direction to clean up the Williamson Act program, staff has continued to update the guidelines on an annual basis as needed. The issues being brought up are now issues that have not been considered or analyzed fully, and therefore staff needs time to bring forward a white paper on these new issues that are being brought up with these contract changes. These can be complex issues, and we need to be able to understand these issues fully in order to provide consistent and fair Williamson Act regulations to all. So given all of that information, staff is recommending that we put a 6-month moratorium on bringing forward any contract non-renewals or rescissions and re-entries. Staff will still process cancellations as they're typically applicant-driven, such as the prior example of the TPC change. And so that way we can bring forward a white paper on these issues, discuss them in open session, and the board can direct staff on any changes if necessary. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Sounds like a plan to me. I've been trying to figure out a way to honor the TNC contract and still deal with the water issue, the language that, you know, we're dealing with. Obviously, you know, it's kind of a quick fix per se without any, like you say, it gets complex. Let's make sure we're dotting the I and crossing the T. So I don't have a problem with that. Okay. And it, for instance, even with this contract, it doesn't hold up anything for them. Is that correct?
Correct. We're just going to kind of put any processing and changes on hold. So they'll be in good standing for now until we can come to a consensus if there needs to be any program changes.
And is that okay? Is TNC okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, it just seems to be, you know,
let me give you the backdrop to where the concern for me at least has been. I was not aware in this WCB contract for this property that they had to give a substantial amount of their dedicated water right to in-stream flow. With the purchase of other properties on water systems, it complicates things, at least from my perspective. I want to be sure that adjudicated rights once they're changed, per se, or if they're given up or dedicated in stream, the normal course of action has been downstream user gets the benefit. And we know that when the state took over the Big Springs Ranch, they tried a 1707 to shepherd that water down to the mouth, which would have bypassed downstream water users that had a right to that water. So I want to get that clarified so that as the state moves towards granting more money for purchases, that we try to maintain, you know, how the adjudication should work.
I'm not disagreeing with where you're at with that. You know, I just think that, you know, why are we going to hold up something that's already in queue that we've discussed that was recommended by staff? You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't proceed afterwards, but, you know, why are we...
Well, this new information, I was not aware that the water right, substantial amount, it says in the contract that has to be dedicated to in-stream flow. So I was not aware of that when this came in October.
I support that. It helps me a great deal from the standpoint of what I've been wrestling with in Scott Valley with these Williams Knight transfers to the NGOs and the commitment of water rights that seem to, at least on its face, violate the adjudication.
Or potentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So is that what the white paper is going to say? Is you're going to ask another question, what are you going to do with your water rights? And it just seems to me you're infringing upon private property and what they can dictate, what they can do with their property.
Yeah, but the state's the one infringing through the contract. They're the ones infringing on the water right.
I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about anyone that's with the Williamson Act. You're going to now ask that question.
You show me how many people with the Williamson Act have a contract with WCB that they have to give up a substantial amount of their dedicated water right, and I'm open, but you're not going to find it.
Okay, well, I can see where this is headed, so maybe we ought to just move on. Get the white paper.
Good with that. Are you good with that?
No.
Are you good with that?
What do we need?
We need action or just...
Natalie Reed, County Council. So it sounds like pursuant to agreement of the applicant and the planning division that the board would not be requested to take further action on this matter, and the public hearing would just close until the planning division brings back a white paper, potentially revised rules, and then they'll be looking at contracts like this again.
Okay.
And by closing the public hearing, then if they're going to bring something back at a later date, it's going to go through the whole public hearing process again.
It would be noticed, correct.
So after discussion, we choose to close this hearing.
With no action taken.
No action taken. Thank you. Okay, with that, do you want to do board and staff reports before we go into...
Looks like somebody had a comment.
Well, can we still give comment, like public comment on that, even though it's closed?
Oh.
Is that still part of the procedure or not?
You can open the public hearing back up if you would like to
do your public comment.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. We'll reopen and allow for public comment, and we'll hear Amy Campbell first.
Yeah. And do you want a time limit on that?
3 minutes.
3 minutes is fine. I brought some information about Parks Creek Ranch to give to you. Yeah, I've got, let me just, I've got 10.
This is for your reading pleasure.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you go.
She doesn't need one. Okay. You can go to public.
There's extras. Thank you for reopening the hearing. Good afternoon. Amy Campbell. I'm a senior project director with the Nature Conservancy. And my colleague Molly and I wanted to just take an opportunity to tell you a little bit more about Parks Creek Ranch, just for a bit of context, as your staff began drafting a white paper and reevaluating the Williams Act policy for Siskiyou County. So the paper I handed out provides a broad summary of what we're intending to do out at Parks Creek Ranch over time. It does include reducing irrigation to restore flows of Parks Creek, to upgrade ranch infrastructure to maximize efficiency, enable restoration, maintaining grazing. I'll let you read it. But in listening to the board meeting in October and some of the concerns that were expressed by this board over the Williamson Act, I just wanted to make sure, and this is probably something your staff will come up, be reviewing in their white paper, is that the current way we are managing that property do still currently meet the Williamson Act requirements for Siskiyou County. We have, we are operating, it's consistent with the zoning designations. These lands are still currently used for commercial operations. The parcels contain at least 40 acres of agricultural lands and are at 60% commercial agricultural use at least. And so the second piece of information I heard from the last meeting was that there was a lot of concerns by this board about future hypothetical situations that might occur on the property. And my message to you all is that we have some commitments we've made to the state about reducing irrigation to improve flows in Parks Creek, but we really haven't figured out how we're going to be doing that, what our future management looks like on the property. And when we do end up selling the property, which we've given ourselves a 10-year window to try to figure out all these changes, we will be putting a conservation easement over the property. And your Williamson Act policy does mean that we bring the conservation easement terms back to the county for review to make sure that the easement terms are consistent with the Williamson Act contract. So you will have another bite at the apple 10 years from now when an easement's in place and when we have a better idea of what we're doing out there for you to weigh in about the Williamson Act contract. I mentioned that we have a timeline for ourselves to try to sell this property in 10 years with a conservation easement over it. You know, and my desire and our desire is to sell to a third-party private buyer, ideally with who's interested in continuing to use the property for agriculture. And so unenrolling this property or not including this property under Williamson Act will ultimately make it less attractive to a potential third-party agricultural producers in the future. So it's just something to think about. I wanted to thank you again for opening the hearing and hearing our comments. My colleague Molly's up next, and wanted to continue to invite board and staff out to our properties here in Siskiyou County and on Parks Creek Ranch. We have an open door policy, so please reach out. I'm happy to talk more. Thank you.
Molly?
Good afternoon, board. Thank you for your service. My name is Molly Brightman, and I'm the manager of Parks Creek Ranch. I work closely with Amy Campbell and our ranching tenant, Dalton Cash, to ensure that our conservation values support, not threaten, the economic and physical viability of ranching on this incredible property. We've worked closely with respected local experts, including the former Parks Creek Ranch manager and several ranching consultants, to create a lease that empowers a young and emerging rancher to succeed. Dalton and his wife are thriving here, building their herd and their future. We've invested $60,000 in upgrades to their home, as well as the second dwelling on the ranch, all completed with a local Siskiyou County contractor, Lassen Construction. Beyond that, we're investing deeply in the infrastructure and water systems that keep this ranch productive. We've secured funding for 3 new stock water wells and virtual fencing to improve grazing efficiency and protect riparian areas along Parks Creek, areas that are still open to managed grazing. We've upgraded flow measurements on our portions of Parks Creek and our diversions to real-time monitoring technology, and are working closely with our neighbors, Montague Water Conservation District and the Edson Folk Ditch Company, to comply fully with the property's safe harbor agreement. In addition, UC Cooperative Extension, Siskiyou County Farm Bureau, and Siskiyou County jointly installed evapotranspiration and soil moisture sensors in one of our pastures to assess flood irrigation efficiency and gather data for the basin-wide groundwater model. We've met with CAL FIRE as well as Shasta Valley RCD to plan fuels reduction and wildfire resilience projects on the ranch. Our plans have the potential to protect not just our land, but our neighbors in Edgewood, as well as the surrounding watershed. We know that Shasta Valley agriculture faces a future increasing regulation. We're investing now in efficient irrigation, smart monitoring, and stewardship practices to keep water working for agriculture. I'm so proud of what we're doing here. I love seeing Dalton build his herd. I love knowing this ranch will someday change hands stronger, healthier, and more valuable than when we received it. When the next owner takes over, they'll inherit a productive, modernized ranching operation. These steps, along with keeping Parks Creek Ranch enrolled in the Williamson Act, will help ensure it is and will remain a working ranch. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll close the hearing. Do we want to do board and staff reports before we go into close?
On the 8th, I attended the cattleman's dinner. On the 11th, I attended the Veterans Day ceremony at the sculpture garden. The 12th, I read to the kids at Montague Preschool, Pugosaurus. Attended the Fish and Game Commission that evening. And then on the 17th, I was on a wolf tour with Supervisor Kopsev and Joanne.
Can I ask, was that the Siskiyou County Fish and Game Commission?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Go on, I'm digging it up.
On the 8th, I attended the Cattleman's Dinner. On the 11th, I attended Veteran Services at Cemetery and at Fort Jones Cemetery. And on the 12th, I participated in the Read Across America. And on the 13th, I attended the Criminal Justice Partnership meeting.
Okay. Got it.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll go real quick.
Ahead.
So back on the 10th, I attended the Denver Chamber of Commerce meeting. A good gathering, actually. And then I was down in Sacramento for the State Association, the Finance Corp. The whole State Association building is getting remodeled. They're going to gut it down to the bones and rebuild it, so there's a whole process going on there. And then I went over to Lafayette for the Latino Caucus retreat that we did a tour of the oil refinery there. And one of the things that I found very interesting about that tour, one, there's a Valero refinery shutting down. Gas prices are only going to go up because of the ramifications of what's happening in that world, if you will. I found it very interesting and always trying to learn something on that front. And as you know, we pay pretty high gas prices here in Siskiyou County. So, that's it.
Thank you.
I think I'm close to it. On October 31st, I was on a telephone Zoom call with Blue Shield of California, with staff, with regard to dealing with some of the what I call really big complications with their service, Included Health and Blue Shield. And they seem to be, we got their attention, I'll put it that way, so they seem to be working through some of it. But I don't know that they knew what was going on, frankly. So anyway, November 1st, attended the annual meeting for Hammond Ranch homeowners. November 5th, met with the City of Weed and their staff. And they still have complications with the mountain lion, but we've offered help to them, so it's kind of at random at this point. November 8th was at the cattleman's dinner, and also had a meeting with cattlemen and Sierra Valley was represented, as well as ranchers in the valley, with regard to the wolf issue. Attended the County Fish and Game Commission meeting, met with Farm Bureau on the 13th, and was attended by Zoom the RCRC Predatory Species Management Committee, and the 15th I went down to Colusa, attended the Family Water Alliance event they had there with Paul Sousa as guest speaker. Also attended a tour yesterday on the wolf impacts in the county with Supervisor Harris. And then tomorrow, I'll give a head one. There's a Golden State Natural Resources meeting in Reading at the City Council Chambers at 10 o'clock for those of you that would wish to be there.
Thank you. I attended via Zoom the Pacific Power California Wildfire Advisory Board meeting. I chaired the COC Advisory Board meeting. I did a lovely walkthrough of our county library and visited with the director and staff and volunteers. I participated in Read Across America with a group of ecstatic little children. PSA 2 Executive Board meeting, Criminal Justice meeting, Fish and Game Commission meeting, C2C meeting last night, Cattlemen's Dinner. I attended the EMS Advisory and Healthcare Coalition meeting, and I chaired the Behavioral Health Advisory Board meeting. I think that's all. With that, we will go into closed.